So this is a day of great rejoicing, great festivity. One, yes, because Leo will be welcomed into the church through the waters of baptism. But also because we celebrate this great solemnity of the ascension of our Lord into heaven. Some of us may remember when we celebrated Ascension Thursday. Thursday would have been 40 days after the resurrection. 40 days is the number of days that Jesus walked on the earth after the resurrection. And so, historically, traditionally, we celebrated the ascension on that 40th day as a clear reminder to us of the reality of the events that we celebrate in the liturgical year. The bishops, for reasons, have transferred it to today. Perhaps have a greater number of people to come to the Holy Mass. So maybe it was out of a defeatist mentality, realizing that people wouldn't come on a Thursday, so let's try to squeeze it in on a Sunday. But I wonder if I passed the microphone around or asked for a show of hands, how many of us really understand this day? Every Sunday, and when we profess the creed, when you pray the Holy Rosary, you profess the belief that Jesus ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father. Has this transferring it from Thursday to Sunday helped us to come to a deeper appreciation of this feast? Now, I won't put anybody on the spot, but do you know? Do you understand why this day is a day of great rejoicing? The ascension of our Lord completes the Paschal mystery. Oftentimes we hear that phrase and we associate it simply with Good Friday and maybe Easter Sunday, the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But the Paschal mysteries, the saving mysteries of our faith, are completed today as Jesus has taken body and soul into heaven. As we prayed in the opening prayer, not only does Jesus go into heaven, but this day is our exaltation, that we, the church, the body of Christ, is exalted today. And that's why this day is such a day of great rejoicing. And the prayer went on to say that where the head has gone, the body hopes to follow. That this is our day of hope. That the reality that we celebrate in the Incarnation on March 25th and the Nativity on December 25th, and then the life of Jesus that we walk through each year during the liturgical cycle, that the miracles he performed, the preaching that he proclaimed, the peace that he brought, all which led to his death and his resurrection, culminates today in this great feast, that where the head has gone, the body is sure to follow. Because Jesus is alive. The body and the head are united. There can be no separation. So if the head is in heaven, in some way, some mysterious way, we can say the body is already there. But as Pope Benedict XVI would say so often, it's already, but not yet. That we live in this flux, this in-between time. And that in-between time becomes a reality for us here in the sacred liturgy. That this is where heaven and earth meet. Where the already and the not yet come together. That the foretaste of that exaltation is a reality for us at the sacrifice of the Holy Mass. And so there is something new here, something different that takes place at the Holy Mass. We enter into the saving mysteries, the sacred mysteries, in a very real way. That what Jesus did on the cross and on Easter Sunday, and what he did today 2,000 years ago, and what he's doing in heaven for eternity is becoming a reality for us here. That the self-offering before the incarnation, when it was just the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as Spirit, the Father and the Son were living in a mutual exchange, a giving and a taking of themselves, a complete offering of one to the other. When the Son of God took on flesh and became Jesus, became a man, and on the cross of Calvary, he took that flesh and made that flesh part of that self-offering. And now that flesh is in heaven, in this perpetual self-offering of the Son to the Father. And through the waters of baptism, that we are incorporated into the flesh of Jesus Christ. And so this is why it's our exaltation, because now we, the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, are in a perpetual self-offering to the Father. This is the day of rejoicing, that we now have clear hope to be one day united, body and soul, with Jesus, with our Blessed Mother, and all the angels and all the saints who have gone before us. That this is a day of hope. In the midst of the darkness and the hopelessness in our world, we know that we're not bound to this world. That we have been elevated, we have been exalted to the heights of heaven. And this is the reason why this day should be so important for us, that we celebrate it with such joy and enthusiasm, and why it's such a beautiful coincidence by God's providence that the baptism was scheduled for today. Because we heard the last will and testament, we can say, of Jesus at the conclusion of the Gospel of St. Matthew. And as he was leaving this earth, what did Jesus say? Go forth and baptize. And what we do through the waters of baptism is a direct response to the will of God, the heart of our Father. The reconciliation that he desires with us as children happens here in the font of baptism. And we go out with this great commission, as it's called, proclaiming the saving message to the entire world. Proclaiming that we're no longer bound by sin and by death, but we live in the hope of eternal life. That we are people of hope. And that we have the answer to the darkness out there. That this great commission given to the apostles first has been given to each one of us. That we and ourselves can be beacons of hope to the world trapped in darkness. So how well do we respond to this? How well have we responded to this great commission to go out and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that Christ has commanded us? So I guess the first question is, do we know Jesus? Can we tell our story? What difference has Jesus made in your life? How have you been saved? What was the darkness, the hopelessness? What was the humdrum routine of your life that has been enlightened by the saving power of Jesus Christ? And do your friends and family know your story? Have you responded to this great commission? Is the world trapped in darkness because we have been reluctant to tell our story? We need to know the story of creation and then the fall and the promise of the Redeemer and the Redeemer coming to us in the person of Jesus and then the establishment of the church and in the church the sacraments so that we could enter into that eternal life of the Father. But it can't stay out there. It must come in here, and the world needs to hear that story. Can you tell your story? Have you told your story? Each one of us has that opportunity, the obligation to change the world by sharing the hope that you have found in Jesus Christ. Maybe your circle is very small and you don't get out much. Your commission is to pray. We have a president who claims to be Catholic and supports the worst atrocities against nature that you can imagine. Pray for him. Pray for his conversion. We just elected a mayor in this town who's not much different, who claims to be Catholic. Pray for her. Pray for her conversion. For all the people in the spotlight, including the clergy, that we are faithful to our commission to be light in the world, to proclaim the saving message of Jesus Christ. This is how we respond to this. This is how we bring hope to the world. Not getting trapped in the doom scrolling that leads us to despair and hopelessness, and then turning in on ourselves and the various sins that come along with that. But we are people of hope. That we hope in the resurrection. Hope in new life in Christ. The hope which is given to us in the waters of baptism. At the beginning of Mass, I asked you what you wanted for your child, and they said baptism. They could have said faith, eternal life, hope, all the gifts that we receive through the waters of baptism. This is where our new life in Christ starts. And so we rejoice with you today, Chris and Taylor, as you've brought your son to enter into this relationship with Jesus Christ. And we as the community have the obligation to help them in the raising of their child. We have the opportunity to continue this saving message of Jesus Christ. And so we can conclude with this prayer from St. Paul from our second reading, that as the father of this parish, as this father of this child, I'm sure these words resonate with you. Brothers and sisters, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of his glory and the inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe. That we may know what is the hope, that we may know what are the riches of his glory, and may we know what is the surpassing greatness of his power. As we prepare for Pentecost next Sunday, where once again the heart of the Father will be poured out upon us, may this be a reality for each one of us, that the eyes of our hearts be illumined, that we walk in the newness of life, that we truly become beacons of hope, ministers of the gospel, messengers of the truth, so that we, as a member of the body of Christ, who are being exalted today, will surely follow where the head has already gone. Amen.